Well, good morning, counselors, and thank you for accepting my invitation to join me in a briefing on some relevant matters. I hope to use this recurring weekly venue to keep you informed of events of the day that you might not otherwise be aware of. My plan will be to construct agendas and to invite appropriate staff to be available to answer any questions you might have regarding the subject matter before you. So we have three agenda items today, the first of which is a concept that the auditor's office has been exploring. I know the board is very interested in transparency, and Mark Gassaway and his staff have done a great job in putting together our transparency page, a link to which is on our homepage in the lower right-hand corner. But in the spirit of continuous improvement, Mr. Gassaway has been doing additional research, and he has a proposal. I think we've already entered into a contract to move ahead with this, but it's called OpenGov, and he's here to lead a discussion about that for the benefit of the board.
Thank you. First of all, I want to preface this. A lot of the concepts and things that we're dealing with right now are very preliminary. We're at preliminary stages of a lot of these things. This particular initiative, the OpenGov initiative, is really in context of what we're facing over the next 2 years in our financial systems technology issues and our reporting tools. There's a lot of different aspects of this that we're addressing, and so you're going to be hearing a lot about the technology requirements that we have for our financial systems, our reporting systems, our budgeting system. All of this becomes intertwined at some point, and we're just starting into this process. So I don't have a lot of details for you today, but I want you to be aware, and so that as we get into the detail stages of these projects, you're getting, you're aware of what's going on. We want to make sure that we don't catch, no surprises and things like that. So, Commissioner,
I just want to say what a vote of confidence that I have for your track record, what you've already developed, the transparency page, putting the checkbook online, that initiative that you're taking to pursue open government and all this transparency. I could not be more supportive of that.
Thank you. And there's a lot of people involved in that as well. A lot of people on my staff, IT and PIO as well. And budget office, exactly. There's been a lot of combined efforts on how we do that. This particular tool, that it's an outfit called OpenGov. This will take us, I believe, to the next level of transparency. What it does, it provides the information that the financial information and other information as well that's currently on our website, but it puts it in a more interactive format. Right now, if you were to go out and look at our financial information or other information, it's static. It's in a PDF type format, with the exception of our open checkbook. What this tool does, it's a cloud-based service that we would enter into or would be a provider. It allows our internal staff as well as external citizens to access this information in a format where they can do things with it. It has some very nice features on analytics, on graphing, on different aspects of how you take that information and display it. So as we go through this process, we are very premature, very, very preliminary in this process. We're just starting now getting, data in a format where we can actually load it into the system. But our intention is to be able to take that information. We'll have some, user groups throughout the county, because it will be a tool that we'll be able to use with our own staff, our program managers, our finance managers. They'll be able to use that tool just as well as citizens outside. At some point, we'd like to get some focus group together of citizens, what they'd like to see on there, and the tools that we can pre-build in the system itself for them. And so that's kind of a preview of what this will do. The time frame on this, we're, like I said, just starting into the process. It'll be several months before we have the data available. Then we'll have the opportunity to have some test groups and things like that. And so probably sometime in the second quarter of this year, we'll actually have a formal presentation. We'll have some training, I think, that will be provided to internal users in the county. We'll have a page on there that shows how citizens can use it. So it's very effective. There are several cities and counties throughout the U.S. that are currently on a similar program as this. So.
Website that describes this. I know it's preliminary.
I just sent you the link. Yeah.
Okay, so. I'm just thinking it'd be helpful to be able to add that to the grid for this, so that citizens can learn a little bit more about what's on the horizon.
It couldn't be simpler. Opengov.com.
And what I would, I guess, request at this point, we'll give you a time frame of how this is going to roll out, and we'll make those communications as we're prepared to do so. I don't want anyone going, okay, where is it? Because we're not at that point yet. And it'll be several months down the road, and we'll continue the communication, say, okay, now we're ready to publicize this and roll it out. Right now it's a concept stage. There are other cities that you can look at. We can't look at our data yet. We'll have some enhanced features on there. It will replace the current version of the open checkbook that we have now. So there's a lot of benefits of using this. The other thing that we're looking at doing in our department, because of the end of life on our current reporting module that we have, this we're hoping will be able to take up some of that, some of the things that we were getting out of our old reporting module. And then as we implement this, we'll be able to evaluate what's next, what will we need now for a reporting module. So there's a lot of inner relationships in how all these projects will roll together. So
I might point out that Mark was able to get an online demo by the city of Washougal, because they've implemented this OpenGov program.
That was kind of my question is, the program, this cloud program, I think we've talked about it one time before, because I've heard the term. Do we have other cities in the state of Washington or other cities our size that would have that program today or soon? So that when we look it up, I mean, we'd be looking it up to be comparing ourselves to other cities or states or things of that nature.
There are other cities that are currently using the hosted system. Is that your question, or
I'm looking for the purpose of why I would want that information when I went to that site. If I look it up, it still give me some bunch of numbers, I assume, or tell me what we're spending our money on. How can I compare that with other like counties?
Interestingly enough, this system probably won't answer that question, but the state of Washington, within the auditor's office, they have a database that they're currently gathering information where you can look at comparative information, I think, what you're asking for. So that is available. It won't be necessarily part of this site. So, just one quick comment on the reporting tool that we currently have. As you know, we're on an Oracle database system now, and our reporting tool that we have now is called Discover, and there's a lot of internal programming that takes place in that Discover program. And what we're looking to do is to find a tool that will replace that will allow the users, rather than have to have a programmer program it, have the users be able to take, macros or whatever types of tools that are available and create their reports, so it becomes more of a user-based system. So that will be one of the enhancements that we'll be looking at as far as our reporting tool. So by giving the users the ability to customize their own reports, I think we'll be able to better address the needs that they have. So
just to be clear, we're talking about kind of two different populations of users. We're talking about internal users. When we talk about reporting tool, we're talking about internal users, county employees. OpenGov.com, we're talking about some use by internal employees, but primarily it's focused towards external citizens, if there was any confusion about that. And we already have one tool, as Mark said, Discover, that county employees use with the assistance of the IS department. So just, again, just to make sure we understand, these are two different applications.
So all of this kind of gets rolled together. The initiative that we have this year and next year, over the next couple of years, is because of technology changes, and they're constantly changing. We're at the end of life on our financial system now. We're going to be developing this plan of how, of what we do, what we need to do. And our office, the auditor's office, is in constant contact with the IT group to help plan this out. So over the next 6 months, you're going to see these plans as they start to come together, and timelines, and we'll keep those communications available to you, because none of it's cheap, or none of it's free. We're going to, of course, be as efficient as we can on how we put these things together so that we can have the best efficient use of funds. So,
but I think we also did want to talk specifically, want to talk specifically a little bit more about the challenge we have in evaluating whether we should continue with the Oracle financial management system or to potentially replace that with some other system. We spend a lot of money in annual maintenance fees, licensing fees to Oracle, as well as a lot of money in staff to keep that functional for each of the departments as well. So I'm sorry, Councilor Stewart.
Sort of the substance of my question. When we say end of life, we're approaching the end of life of our financial system. I wanted to know, what does that mean? That does bring up a big picture question. All municipal and governmental organizations tend to subscribe to Oracle or some other organizations. And as a need for different kinds of information comes about, we find that what we purchased for $5 or $6 million cannot do the job anymore. I'd be really interested in thinking long term about why, and then each new aspect you add of Oracle can be another $5 or $6 million. So we have certain vendors that do governmental accounting systems. I'm over many years of public service and seeing how many millions and millions are spent on this all the time. And we talk about something not being sustainable. We buy products for that kind of money that are going to be no good. Now, the same is true if you buy a personal computer. You know it's going to have a certain life, and then unless you can do a lot to it, it'll become obsolete. But thinking long-term, in the big picture, some kind of more standardized systems, or I whether it's feasible or not to develop them in-house, I think there's a limited number of professionals that can write code and so on. But so when you raise the issue of Oracle, is that what you're talking about, coming to the end of the useful life of the programs that were purchased? Yeah. So there are more and more software companies that are developing for governmental operations. And it seems like each of the suppliers or providers offer kind of different packages. Are there any strong competitors to Oracle?
There are more options now. Sure.
Well, Oracle continues to buy up the competitors.
That's true. Anytime they become viable, they buy them. And Councillor, that's exactly where we're going. What you said is exactly what we're doing. We are in the process now of looking at the options that we have available. And we will consider all of those options. In fact, we have been considering those. The time frame that we're looking at over this next biennium, the reason why this is even being discussed right now is because of the support that Oracle's providing, the decisions that we have to make. You know, we're looking at hosted solutions. There's many more options now than there was 15 years ago. And so we have a lot of things to consider, and all of those things that you mentioned are part of that consideration. So
I'm aware, also very thankful, really, that forensic accountant Tiffany Couch is a member, or newest member, of the Audit Oversight Committee, and that she has routinely audited many different jurisdictions, has lots of exposure to a broad range of accounting, government accounting systems. And I assume or encourage you to make sure that she's included in the conversation, to pick her brain, make sure you gain her insight in the recommendations going forward. Just to make sure that that broad exposure can help us be more informed even yet.
And we get input from all kinds of resources. We have all kinds of input that we're looking at, so not just internal but external as well.
Great. So I just want to make sure she's on the list. That sounds excellent.
Any other questions? There's a lot going on. This will be an exciting time for us, a busy time for the next life.
Let us know how we can support you. It's a great path to be on. I look at the Oracle as kind of the old way of doing things. I don't want to say anything derogatory about them, but just simply the cloud-based, low overhead standardization that has that foundation of serving not only the jurisdictions but the citizens when it comes to all of the public record requests that this can replace, because it's all available tools to them. I just, you could not be on a smarter track, it sounds like. So just let us know how we can support you in that endeavor.
Lastly, councillors. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Public access to more kinds of financial information, and that the user could kind of customize their inquiry to their area of interest.
One of the things that OpenGov provides is it's an interactive data set rather than a static data set. In other words, just looking at a report, you can actually take that data, and what we're looking at, one of the primary benefits of having this is we can go out and you know, pre-program in certain analysis or certain graphs or whatever, as well as a citizen. There's, you know, macros or you know, little keys on there that they can help organize the data. In this, you know, focus group or whatever we provide, we would hope to be able to provide, you know, the majority of what the citizens are interested in looking at without them having to go in and do it themselves. They would just have to click on an icon and it would display the information. But there would be the ability to do some customization as well, and they would have instructions on how to do that. So.
And counselors, I sent you a link to the OpenGov website. I would encourage you to visit that site. There are three city governmental examples there. But if you go up to the menu and hit governments, you'll get a list of 50 or so. And you can click on each of the icons and see how that jurisdiction is displaying their data. And then there's a little online demo that shows you how you can customize the appearance of the chart on your screen.
And not to dampen your enthusiasm, but at this point, we're so preliminary. As we roll this out, I think the timing of how we communicate this to the public and involve them in the discussions, I think it's important. So we'd like to be able to drive that a little bit. So,
in other words, we get that disclaimer, don't overpromise and build expectations that somehow they think is going to happen tomorrow.
Exactly.
But in,
right.
So we get that.
Okay,
it's a draft, it's a concept, yeah. it's a direction that you're pursuing, and be patient and take the time to do it right.
And there's a particular outreach method that one of the counselors uses that we would ask him to refrain from using until Mr. Gassaway gives you the green light.
So. Well, at this point, you've already made it public, but I would say certainly I get that when it comes to don't overpromise and somehow give the impression that it's going to be complete right away. It's a long-term direction.
I believe in the second quarter of this year we'll have something available. So,
but even then, we'll give you the type of, if it ends up being the third quarter or we're after your lead, we'll be patient to follow.
One of the points that I wanted to make about that is we can set it up higher level so that an initial citizen inquiry may be a high level budget or financial category or whatever. So, Mr. Kimsey, you were saying that maybe what is the detail that's accessible internally wouldn't necessarily be the same level of detail a citizen would be inquiring about. But would we restrict them? Yes. Yes. Understood. Okay, that's what I wanted to be sure, rather than us arbitrarily deciding that information below a certain level you don't need to know, so you're not going to have access there. That's not the goal.
Right.
Take a look at the open checkbook. You'll see as much detail as you want to see. Yeah.
Okay, good, because that's the whole purpose, is people can inquire until they're satisfied that they have the information they need. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, too, for that discussion. Appreciate it. Counselors, number two on your agenda is the reorganization of application services in the Infrastructure Services Department. Just a reminder that I spoke with each of you on Monday about this, and I am now presenting it to you in an open public forum in the interest of keeping the public informed of things happening inside the county. I don't want to talk too much about this. I have provided a staff report that goes into some detail, and the objectives of the reorganization are included in that paper, as is some detail on the specific positions that will be created and how the department will function once it's combined, or once they are combined. So I just want to thank the council or the board for your support on this.
Have it.
When we talked about this, it was referred to as IT. So these terms are synonymous? Or, well...
Yes. Yeah, we have two, what I would call mini departments, application services and infrastructure services, and we are going to combine those two mini departments into a new information technology department.
So one of the things that I'm really curious as we take on these tasks, that they're compatible, that there's going to be a more efficient outcome, and of course maybe money saving. But if it was more compatible, became more efficient, and the money was neutral, that'd be good too.
Right.
So
yeah, I anticipate that, Councilor Mielke, that this will be a cost neutral effort. Savings will be realized elsewhere in the county to fund this.
So cost neutral, then we're going to achieve some operational advantages.
I expect that to be the case. Yes, sir.
Great. Thank you.
Good okay. Work. Moving on to agenda item number three. I've got a number of staff members here from community planning. I've got Marlia Jenkins, who's been heavily involved in annexation activity over the past decade or so. But we have a memorandum or a letter from the city administrator, Pete Capel, city of Camas, wherein they propose to annex about 238 acres, roughly 201 parcels, that are sandwiched in between the city limits of Camas and the, I think it's the urban growth, no, the city limits of Vancouver. There is a map attached that highlights the areas that they propose to annex. You can see there are small islands of unincorporated Clark County that are sandwiched between the two cities. These parcels are served by the City of Camas School District, and utility services are also provided by the city. Something to consider is that law enforcement, to get to these parcels, we have to traverse the City of Vancouver for our sheriff to serve them. The same thing applies to our public works maintenance staff. And so on its face, it appears to be a logical move. I've communicated with Mr. Capel, and on the advice of staff that are in the room, we have asked them to proceed with the legwork that needs to be done in order to carry this forward. I'm not asking the board for any approval today. What we would need to know, of course, is the relative financial impacts on the residents there because of different tax rates and so on that exist between the city and the county. PETA is committed to do that analysis, and they will also begin to formulate an agreement between the city and the county to execute this. I think maybe one thing that we need to discuss here, or just to maybe advise you of before we receive anything formal from the city beyond this memo, is that they are proposing to use the interlocal method to affect this annexation. There are a number of different methods to affect an annexation. You can have an election, you can do petitions, and in the letter you will read that they admit rather freely that achieving the 60% threshold amongst the parcel or house residents of those two areas, they believe it would be costly for them, difficult logistically, and they may even have difficulty convincing 60% of the residents to agree to that. So the interlocal method takes the residents out of the picture, as I understand it. And I just thought the board needed to know I know you're citizen-centric. You like to go with the will of the voters and not just run something through administratively that ignores how they feel about the matter at hand.
Let me back up just a little bit. I'm assuming we're talking about the green checkered area.
Correct.
Okay. Actually, looking at it, I'm surprised that's not already part of Camas.
Right.
But I'm also a little disappointed when they kind of cram it down people's throats.
Well, they are proposing to use that method, and I would assume the county would have to agree with that.
I don't think we have to agree, do we? We do?
Chris is here. Thank you for coming. So I think that's the major issue, is the method of to affect the annexation, whether or not you want to just sign an agreement with the governing body of the city of Camas and just affect this without taking into account the desires of the people who live here.
My apologies for lateness. I had two hearings this morning. Yes, the county legislative body would have to.
Cutting in and out. Why don't you use the other microphone?
The county would have to agree, and that would be the legislative body would agree to the interlocal agreement that would affect the annexation. There are a number of different forms of annexation with different, very technical requirements, and that is the nature of this one, according to statute.
I recall three methods
of
annexation.
I think there are about 10.
Yeah, 10.
There are a lot of them.
Yeah, I might point out that Pete and the City Council of Camas do intend to involve the public in the process. They've already scheduled some meetings to take public testimony regarding this annexation proposal. However, in the end, public testimony notwithstanding, if the council wanted to annex in spite of opposition to it, they could take that forward. So
I guess where I come on that is that if we agree to have them adversely take it, then we become the bad people along with them. And I think that this board might be looking at representation a little bit different than what Camas is looking at. So I would, as we move forward, I'd like to look at the other options.
We can get something to you that describes other options, and I don't know what Camas's viewpoint is on looking into other options. It may be that they're willing to and open to considering something else that would have a little bit more in the way of public say. There is required public process in this annexation method, but it's not the same as getting a petition signed by X percentage of the property owners.
Is it too lengthy to have you explain that to us now?
Now would not be a good time.
You have some basic questions. Timing, what are they looking at? I understand that we don't have any 2015 annual update. Is this part of the 2016 comp plan update or sooner?
This wouldn't be a comprehensive plan update. All of this area is already within the urban growth boundary. So it's already within Camas's urban growth area. It's just outside the corporation limits. So it's not a comp plan action.
Okay. It appears, just at first glance here, that most of this area is simply residential, not business. Is there business involved, business property involved?
Costco property.
I don't know whether there's some near the river. I think the northern one is primarily residential.
So
here's his.
Yeah, that we haven't conducted a thorough investigation of this yet, because this came to us during the holiday period. So that's part of what we need to look at.
Yeah, and we would also have GIS draw polygon around these parcels to tell us what the tax impact would be, the revenue impact would be to the county. And then we can compare that to the cost of providing services to see what kind of, whether it's a net gain or a net loss.
Normally, when we follow annexed lines, we'll see that for instance, as Vancouver city limits follow up 192nd Avenue, they'll grab this business and that business, all those tax generators, sales tax generators, and they'll exclude the residences because business creates new wealth, extra wealth, and business, and residences normally consume more services than generate revenue. So if this is annexing the residential areas, what's the motivation? Why are they interested to do this if it's not business?
Well, they're already providing substantial services to the residents of these parcels, but they're not getting the revenue from them. So if they get revenue from property taxes and whatnot from these folks, that would help offset the cost of the services they provide.
Know if there are neighborhood associations that represent these neighborhoods?
I don't know that. Would be easy to find out.
Yeah.
Just my own feedback. Was that? There are. Okay. Because I haven't even had the opportunity yet to read the letter, so this is all preliminary.
Those are HOAs, not neighborhood associations.
Okay. In my eyes, representative organizations.
Right.
They banded
right.
together to speak as an organized voice. My own preliminary feedback on this is that I would be very interested to hear from those residences so that they do have a voice and a means to communicate that voice so that we can support them. Their desires. I want to know what those neighborhoods want, so that we can at least I want to consider that.
Yeah, that would would encourage us to take part in the public participation process and not let CAMAS drive it by themselves.
If they are having meetings with the HOAs, maybe we could invite ourselves to participate in those.
Yes, yeah, so we have NAC, Neighborhood Association, CC?
Right, and I'm not sure who or what Neighborhood Association, if any, is representing that area.
I assume we include, it would be appropriate, it sounds like, in this case, if they don't have an official Neighborhood Association, they have homeowners associations, that we would reach out. We have staff. Was it Holly, normally, that reaches out and has a good working relationship with homeowners. And I would assume that we would make sure that our staff is tuned in firsthand, making sure that we hear from them directly. Microphone.
I want to offer a little bit of opposing point of view on this. It may come to that. But this is really CAMAS's business. And if CAMAS wants to annex people that are in their urban growth boundary, and they are making the case that they need the property tax in order to provide the services, which is a legitimate point of view, I'd really like to see CAMAS do their job, which is do it on an election, do it on a 60% basis, and have them sell their interests to these folks rather than unnecessarily bringing the county in as an intervener. If this is in the citizens' best interest, CAMAS ought to be able to sell it without our intervention at all. And I know it takes a little bit of time, but we're completely out of the loop if they do it on an election or a 60%. If it is in fact to the citizens' interest, CAMAS should be able to sell it as such. I think that they're trying to take a shortcut by us being interveners, but that also puts our nose in the middle of their business that we don't need to necessarily have it in. So does it, if these areas, these residential areas are already in Camas's urban growth boundary, and this is not a comp plan request for a change, this is strictly Camas wants to do an annexation. That's a powerful council. That's a very powerful council out there. And they should be able to sell this on its own merits without us being intermediaries. So I'd like to see them go out and do that. And I hope we'll think about that, because if it's not necessary for us to be interveners, you know, they need to do their job out there selling it.
Yes, Marlee is waiting to say something.
Yeah, well, I wanted to note that traditionally the board's policy has been very similar to what Councilor Stewart just stated, that the county staff did not get involved, pro or con, in any annexation activity. It was fine for us to go to a meeting if we wanted to, but we did not get involved under the principle that this is a city issue and they should be in the lead. We're always supportive behind the scenes if there's a piece of data that we have that they need, that kind of cooperation. But traditionally, the cities have always taken the dominant communication role in an annexation.
That sounds very, very healthy. We certainly have an excellent relationship with all of the cities and the small cities in particular, to make sure that we value them, we want to be good partners with them. It's within their urban growth boundary, it's in their long-term plan to be able to annex these. It's just a matter of sequence and timing. So we trade that off with just making sure that whatever process they follow, that we expect them to have a citizen-respected process, do their due diligence, and not, hopefully it won't rise to a highly contentious situation where citizens are crying out for some relief because they haven't been listened to. I don't think it's going to rise to that. But the message back to Camas would be, make sure you do your homework. How is really important. How you go about this so that the citizens are respected.
I believe that's basically how it would work, and they would the Camas Council would vote to approve this interlocal agreement that would set forth the details, and then that interlocal agreement would go before the county, or it could go in the other order. Statute doesn't care, but that's the general notion of how it works.
Just on the political side of things, we do, I think this Camas City Council has some elections or city races that are up this year. It'd be good to be able to have this timing, make sure that the citizens can see how their representatives are going to vote on this before the election.
Hey, there was a question about whether there were any businesses. I'm looking at an aerial photo on Google Maps, and not one business to be found in these neighborhoods. Hopefully this is a current aerial view.
Question for legal. Mr. Silliman's question, was that presuming that we would be an interlocal intervener? Was that what the basis of his question was?
Well, the method is by interlocal agreement, and that's a contract between two government agencies, so the county would be one of the governments that would sign that agreement.
However, if CAMAS annexes these through the other options they have available, there would not need to be an interlocal agreement.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
And on an interlocal agreement, we could, if there be any basic kind of standards that we expect would be upheld, we could build that into that. We don't want to dictate to CAMAS how to do things, but I expect there ought to be some basic standards just to ensure that it is a citizen-respected process. We can build that in, right?
That could certainly be a matter of negotiation.
Well, if we turn this back to CAMAS and say we're not interested in an interlocal agreement at this time, then it is their responsibility to develop their system that they communicate with these citizens to get them to voluntarily. And the city of Vancouver did this several times. We did it by both methods. We did it by election in some cases, and we did it by 60% property in other cases. It's harder where the area is highly parcelized.
Yes. Yes.
However, it's still their duty to get their citizens to sign on and say, we gladly want to be part of the city. So in that case, I was unaware of the election year coming up. But that is a strong council, and it is a very persuasive council. And there might be other areas that we might want to consider an interlocal to help out a really small jurisdiction. But in this case, CAMAS is their own powerhouse, and I think they can use, it would be my interest as a counselor would be to see them do what they can to voluntarily have these people come in.
CAMAS is a great small city. They're doing so many things right. The economic development that's going on out there, smart business sense, creating jobs. So, yep, I assume that they'll continue that good track record in how they go about this process.
So, is councilors, the message we communicate back to CAMAS is that we would rather not participate in the interlocal process, that we would encourage them to use persuasion and either the election method or the 60% petition method?
Oh, we talked about the different methods.
I can get something to you within a couple days at least.
Something else that would work.
Yeah, I think it's premature for us to be able to make a call which way at this point. Certainly, we'd be supportive of them taking the lead in a way that come back and help us to understand better how to approach this so that we can be supportive because we have enough information to understand. In other words, we have one letter, and perhaps we ought to be able to have some more conversation. I'd like to learn more before we make a call and say, we've got this choice, A, B, or C, we'll pick a choice. I'd be happy to, I think we can each do our homework. I'd like to go visit and talk with the mayor and some of the council members. Our decision is only as good as the information is based on. We have one letter and a brief conversation here, so it's premature, I think, for us to make a call.
I'm just I'm reluctant to have them do a lot of work only to have us say at some later point, no, we don't like that method, let's go some other way. That's my only thought. But if the council or the board is willing to engage.
Yes, entertain more sure. Communication and be supportive of that.
We'll continue the conversation and we'll provide the 10 methods that are outlined in RCW and we'll keep communicating with Mr. Capel.
Go to my colleagues if I could also get a copy. I'd appreciate that.
That will happen.
Anything she gets, I want a copy of, too.
Okay. You've already heard what I got. It ain't our business yet.
Okay, well, if there are no more questions on that subject, that exhausts the agenda. I thank you for your time. Do you have anything else for me?
I would say you made history today. This is the first meeting as your first manager meeting. And I am very pleased to see that the first thing on the agenda was the open government transparency. Champion that direction. Great direction. Great start. This is you're off to a very good start.
I share the transparency value with the board. So
that's demonstrated here in action. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So we're adjourned.
Thank you.